How many times do you suppose the interpreter said to the divine counselor, but there is no word for this in English? And little by little, the divine counselor compromised his concept, permitted his story to be attenuated. Finally, in certain places, said, well, we just won't talk about this at all because the distortion is too great. I can't convey truth at all. Fact, I'll sacrifice. But this is going to involve misconceptions as to truth. You can go from English to Bantu, but you can't go from Yuvarsa to English except by going through two intermediate levels, because Bantu is far closer to English than English is to Yuvarsa, or even the tongue of Satania, I suspect. Don't you feel kind of sorry for these people? Do you have a little greater feeling for Well, they almost throw their hands up here. We're fully cognizant of the difficulties of our assignment. We recognize the impossibility of fully translating the language of the concepts of divinity and eternity into the symbols of the language of the finite concepts of the mortal mind. And then they go on to say, we're very hopeful that your thought adjusters and the spirit of truth will help us in this matter. And again, I think of the archangel who, I'm sure this archangel has a high aesthetic motivation, because he was selected to write the paper on the celestial artisans. And but I almost despair. Now look, he's operating from the Salvington level. I'm not talking about paradise and Avona. He's operating from the local universe level. He's only got to go through one intermediate stage. And he's talking about the affairs of the local universe, not the affairs of Orvantan or Avona. And he goes on to say, but I almost despair of being able to convey to the material mind the nature of the work of the celestial artisans. I am under the necessity of constantly perverting thought and distorting language in an effort to unfold to the mortal mind the reality of these Marantia transactions and near-spirit phenomena. Not spiritual realities, Marantia realities. Your comprehension is incapable of grasping, and your language is inadequate for conveying the meaning, value, and relationship of these semi-spirit activities. And I proceed with this effort to enlighten the human mind concerning these realities with a full understanding of the utter impossibility of my being very successful in such an undertaking. I can do no more than attempt to sketch a crude parallelism between mortal material activities and the manifold functions of the celestial artisans. If the Arantia races were more advanced in art and other cultural accomplishments, then I could go that much farther in an effort to project the human mind from the things of matter to those of Marantia. Not spirit, Marantia. And then he blows his stack a little bit in this paper. Oh, you remember in one place where he said, someday a real musician will be born on earth. I know how to portray the exquisite work of these unique artisans. Every attempt on my part to explain the work of spirit embellishment would only recall to material minds your own pitiful but worthy efforts to do these things on your world of mind and matter. In regard to the harmony workers, these artists are not concerned with music, painting, or anything similar, as you might be led to surmise. Translator just said, no word in Bantu for common stock. They are occupied with the manipulation and organization of specialized forces and energies, which are present in the spirit world, but which are not recognized by mortals. Sorry, These people colorblind. No use describing red, yellow, and blue. No words in their language. This is for comparison. I would attempt to portray this unique field of spirit achievement, but I despair. There is no hope of conveying to mortal minds this field of celestial artistry. Ensembles of dancing undoubtedly represent a crude and grotesque attempt of material creatures to approach the celestial harmony of being placement and personality arrangement. The other five forms of Marantia melody are unrecognized by the sensory mechanisms of material bodies. Fellow Bantu tribesmen, fellow savages, fellow ignoramuses. Let's be a little charitable as we go through this. And remember that their job of describing paradise and Nirvana to us is infinitely more difficult than would be our job of describing 20th century Western civilization to a Stone Age tribe anywhere in their language. But I think we can develop some sympathy for these folks. And they got to work in English, don't they? And so they take words like eventuate and put new meanings in them. Occasionally they give us arbitrary words like absonite, like marantia. They take the word personality and put a new twist on it. They take our word space and add new properties to it. In other words, they actually expand our language a little bit in the process of trying to introduce their concepts into Bantu. I think that if we can get a feel for the seven levels of the total function of deity, it's going to be very interesting to us. And it's going to open up to us a feel for deity, a feel for cosmic growth, and a feel for creature destiny that we can hardly get anywhere else. I regard this statement of the seven levels of deity function as one of the most basic to the comprehension of the Urantia book. This is not basic to human salvation. The love of God is basic to that. But to comprehension, this is basic. First of all, I wish you'd kind of get these words in mind. They're real short words. Static, potential, associative, creative, evolutional, supreme, and ultimate. Let's emphasize the simultaneity of these things. All of these things are happening all the time. Always have happened since the beginning of things. And let's analyze what do these words mean. Well, first of all, I'm not going to use the text. You can read that. Something that's static just is, isn't it? And I think the best illustration of the static nature of deity is the concept of I am. I am what I am. I am that I am. God is. Deity is. And deity is unchanging. And in many senses, deity continues to be unchanging, unaltered by the events of time, impervious even to the cycles of eternity. Well, it's something which could be. We folks are alive today. It's a dead cinch that 1,000 years from now, none of us will be here, right? And if we don't blow up this planet, there will be people here, correct? These people are potential, aren't they? They're not here, but obviously they're possible. 1,000 years ago, we weren't here. But we were potential, or we couldn't be here now. Right? in a certain sense, a seed is the potential of the plant. One of the cutest statements I ever read was in an analysis of genetics, and it says, a hen is an egg's way of making another egg. If you go into the paper, Deity and Reality, you have the best discussion in the Urantia papers. I'll give you the page, and I just assume you wouldn't look at it right now. But if you want to note right opposite the word potential, 1152 to 57. These different words involve sequence relationships. And here's where we get our fried egg concept. And for the moment, I want to use time language. Let's just remember, it didn't happen in time. But if we don't discuss it in sequence, it isn't going to register, right? We got to get from English to Bantu. When I think of static deity, I think of a fried egg. This is the I am. Potentials have not yet differentiated from actuals. As the papers describe it, this is the hypothetical static moment of eternity. That's the language used in the cross-reference I gave you. But the papers do not validate what the philosophers and the metaphysicians call monism, which is not a fried egg, but a scrambled egg. And that's a big difference. In a scrambled egg, you've got just a oneness, right? But in a fried egg, you've got a nucleus and a cytoplasm. The nucleus is the yellow part. The cytoplasm is the white. Always, even in the hypothetical static moment, in the beginning of beginnings, before the beginning of beginnings, there was always the possibility for self-will. When you differentiate potentials from actuals, again, I've got to have real, real, childlike, simple symbols to get them. You know what happened? The yolk moved out away from the white. How many of you separated yolks and whites? The yolk moved away from the white. This is the creation, eventuation, appearance of possibility. Something could happen now. And of course, the minute the yolk moved away from the white, you don't have two realities. You have three realities. You have the white, you have the yolk, and you have the relationship between the white and the yolk. Doesn't the fried egg help? I mean, you just can't be afraid of a concept of a fried egg. The yolk moved away from the static situation. In so moving, the yolk demonstrated volition and also qualified itself. It took up a new position. The white never moved, did it? And was never qualified. Hence is unqualified. And since we are dealing with absolute realities, here, I think, is the genetic derivation of the term unqualified absolute. Unqualified because it's never moved. And at this point, the white became an it. because the personal potentials were in the yolk. When you take the yolk away from the white, you rob it of all deity and personality qualities. Henceforth, the unqualified is it, not he. The yolk. What name shall we give the yolk? I like the term qualified absolute. It's used in the papers. Rarely. And what do we name the relationship between the white and the yolk? The papers give us the name. Universal absolute. Whose function it is to interrelate the tensions, the relationships between the qualified absolute and the unqualified absolute. And here is the beginning of the separation of deity and non-deity. The unqualified absolute is static reality minus all that is deity. The qualified absolute contains within itself the seeds of deity manifestation. Volition is inherent in the yolk. Response inherent in the white, the cytoplasm, the unqualified absolute. You know, one of the shrewdest criticisms of the book of Genesis was written by an old Zoroastrian theologian. It's in the Pahlavi texts. And this old Persian, Zoroastrian, pre-Mohammedan, of course, is saying, this story of creation is for the birds. God was not alone. Because when he commanded, something happened, and this means that there was also present an obeyer of commands. How about that? And I think that's a pretty good definition of the unqualified absolute. When deity speaks with an absolute voice, the commands are obeyed by the unqualified absolute. Or, putting it this way, when total deity takes snuff, the unqualified absolute sneezes. Boys, the next stage of development is that of associative. From here on, changes are going to take place in the yolk, not in the white. The white is essentially changeless, only responsive to the yolk. What's happening here? Well, I think we are trying to put together the story of the great prison break. This is the Universal Father escaping from the fetters of infinity and the limitations of absoluteness. Look, if God is all and fills all, then no room for us, is there? There's no room for adventure. There's no room for change. If infinity is totally filled by the infinite one, then there's no room for any other one, is there? If you've got a pitcher that's full of water, can you put water in the pitcher? The answer is no. As Lao Tzu says in the Tao Te Ching, the great value of a vessel is its emptiness, so that it can be filled. And what God is trying to do is to produce some emptiness, so that other than God may live. Do you get that feeling? It's the creation of emptiness, in a sense, so that something can happen. Think in the associative level. Get your best illustration of it in the paper on the Paradise Trinity. Here I would study pages 108, 9, and 10. At this point, you have a concentration of the active volitional deity in the yoke, the qualified absolute. At this point, the principle of God is in this yoke, the qualified absolute. And at this point, God is the absolute personality. But as the absolute personality, God suffers from awful limitations. He's everything. How does he create emptiness? And here's how he does it.